Father in heaven, we're so thankful for this great day. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for all your blessings. We thank you for all those sins that you put back somewhere in the sea of forgetfulness. Your word declares never to be mentioned no more. We thank you that you're forever faithful. We thank you for your mighty goodness. We thank you for your values, your blessings. We look to you this night. We long for your nature to be upon us. The nature of you, we respond because we're made to accept your nature. We're not made to accept what we was born with. But we've got a nature that's crying out within us all until that time comes. We're crying out as the Jewish people are crying out for that their homeland. But there's something within mankind. You put it in there until we release that birth the Lord Jesus Christ has given us to everlasting life. There's something that's not really, it's not normal what we go through, because we have to have that complete to be for our body to be at rest. Father, we know that there's a lot of unrest in a lot of your people. Your word declares in Isaiah, this sea is like a troubled sea full of unrest. We know that where there's sin, there's unrest, there's problems, there's struggles. And we see the results in our prisons. We see the results in all the workings of the police force. All that is because of our unruly nature that we cannot control without your spirit in us. And Father, we know that none of us are above doing horrendous sins without your spirit. And Father, we're thankful for those who go on to Sunday school and church, because they've been taught about right and wrong, and many times that helps them a long ways. They don't go through the awful endeavors that the children that have never known the way. And your word declares, in your word, if you spank a child, it won't hurt him. It'll break that spirit that's got him bound. And Father, we know that that spanking brings us forth as a child and helps us to satisfy where you're satisfied in our lives. And Father, we know that there's a deliverance through the way of a sanctified marriage to the children loving, live, working into a good church. Father, we know these are all very special. We know that's very commendable. But Father, there's also a ladder that we're supposed to do beyond that. That's coming into a place that we're walking in your obedience, walking in holiness. And Father, what you showed me is pretty much commendable for all men to seek for that, all women, that we should strive to do better. We should strive to not just set off and do the very least that we could do, that we might walk above reproach. We might walk in thy promises and thy love. We might have your benediction upon us at all times, that you would be there putting your approval in our lives continuously. And Father, we thank you for your ever faithfulness, for your ever true. And we thank you in the one. We pray that you'll bless these people here in this room right now. Father, we pray for those through this heartland of our nation right now, that where this word goes out, and for those throughout the whole world that may hear this message. I pray that you'd inspire it by your presence. I pray that you'd put your anointing upon it. I pray that you'd put your approval on it. And Father, we just pray that signs and wonders shall follow your people. And we thank you for this wonderful day. We thank you for we as that end time, I believe. This is the end time ministry that you declared. And Father, I thank you that you're forever faithful. And Father, I just pray that you'd bless abundantly your people this night. For those that need forgiveness, I pray that you'd forgive them, set them free. For those that have a request, a need, I pray that you'd meet those needs, whatever the needs is. I pray if it's financial, you'll help them. If it's spiritual, you'll help them. Whatever the need is, if they need forgiveness, if they're going through a heartache, through struggles, if they've lost a loved one, we pray that you'd help that one tonight. That one has lost that loved one. That one is grieving this night, and you are the God of comfort. You pray that you'd comfort them with your Holy Spirit. You can comfort where we can't. Father, we lift up all those this night that are lowly, to those who are depressed, for those that's going through things that they can't even say, repeat. Father, I pray that you'd bless them mightily. And Father, we pray for our judicial system we have in America. We pray for the judges. We pray for the policemen. And we pray for the lawyers. We pray for the juries. We pray for those who convict, for those that lift up. Father, we pray for the law enforcement. We pray for our nation. We pray for the doctors, the nurses, the staffs, all those that deal with mankind. And Father, for those that have a need this night, we proclaim the healing touch of Jesus in a very special way. And Father, we know that there is many needs in this land. There's many problems, but you're the answer. And Father, your word declares that you remain the same yesterday, today, and forever. We change, but you never change. And you're there to appropriate your love, to appropriate healing, to appropriate what we need. And you are our way maker. You're our keeper. You're our Savior. And Father, we just thank you for this wonderful day, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I really was praying this evening, and the Lord really just put in my heart about, basically, it started out with some of our old people that we think about in the Bible, so wonderful characters like David. And when David goes up there and he's facing the giant, his brothers were there. They was in the soldiers. And he was just a little yard boy from his father. He was just tending the sheep. And yet his brothers were just scared stiff. And the Saul was scared. I mean, they was beyond scared stiff. They was afraid of that giant. And it's, you know, David, by your spirit, moved upon David in such a wonderful way. But in the 18th chapter, I believe it is, he says, he told Saul, he says, when Saul put his armor on him, he said, I can't take your armor. I haven't tried it. And that proving is something that we have to do in all areas. Now, this is not the message, but just hold that we've proven things. And then we go over a little farther when Samson was in one of the judges for Israel, and how that when the Spirit of the Lord got upon Samson, it said he would do great and mighty things. But if you'll follow it out, it's when the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. So just keep that in your heart too. All these things tonight out there, just sort of keep these things bunched up, because I think God's going to unscramble them pretty soon. And then, you know, Caleb and Joshua, they were very faithful, Lord, and how they went into the 12 spies, and they was the only two that had a good report. And how God spoke to Joshua and said that Joshua had a different spirit. That different spirit is the Spirit of God. That Spirit of God is what is supposed to be arguments, what's in our fundamental beliefs in this land that we have. It's because of the Spirit. I was talking to a relative, and I was trying to be so casual because I didn't want to hurt the person. But, you know, it takes a while to understand the move of the Spirit. It doesn't come overnight. It comes as being faithful in the Lord. Because God opens these things up, as I imagine it was even when the day of Pentecost, when the mighty Spirit of God moved, that those people had never heard of it either. But how that they was there, and Peter and these ones that had been with Jesus, disciples, that was telling them, hey, this is the day that Jesus was speaking about. It's the day that he's going to pour out his Spirit in the 120. And they was full of the Spirit of God. And how from that time they started multiplying in the things, it was signs and wonders. Many souls were saved. Many hearts were touched by the example of the Holy Spirit that moved upon him. And Jesus brought many things for him. He was here too. And all these came together into a heading, which he does the same today. Jesus, we're so thankful what he did. We're so thankful for what he means to us this day. But Jesus plainly says, it says, it's needful that I go away. You read the Word of God, that's what it says. It's needful that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I go away, and he says he will reprove the world of sin. And Jesus says, I'm going to prepare for you a mansion in heaven. So for close to 2,000 years, Jesus has been, if you want to bring down in terms of days and years and all, he's been preparing us a heavenly home. And you know, it's got to be most wonderful structures that have ever been. You think about it, Jesus up there, he was a carpenter, the head carpenter and on earth, but he's above every degree faithful. And he's sitting on the right hand of the Father, making intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. He's there to help us, to save us, to keep us, to excite us, to deliver us, to set us free. But there's something that takes place in all mankind when you accept Jesus. There's a change that takes place here. And I truly believe that at that time, you may not keep it, but that time there's a new spirit put in you. Your birth, you've got a new spirit. The same spirit is in Caleb. The same Spirit was in Moses. That same Spirit was in Jesus. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God is going to be in us. He's there to help us. And we grow to the nature and the admonition of the Lord. The other day, my brother and I was talking about how the Lord had showed me that sometimes new people don't really get to grow in the Lord like they should be. We need to flex our spiritual muscles. Now, we all understand our bodies, that if we don't do anything, not very long, we're going to have troubles. My wife, because of her problem, she got to where she couldn't move. She didn't want to move because of the shortage of air. And doing that, she got very, very tired. Then her breathing started getting better, but because she had went so long without exercising her body and even her heart, then it had troubles catching up, and it didn't catch up. Finally, it took her. But what I'm trying to say, with these houses that we live in while we're here, it's our responsibility to keep it in some kind of condition that God can use it for His glory. And if we go put something in us that's bad, then we're going to have a shortness maybe, or some problems going to come from that which we put into this body. God forgives us many times, but we still have to receive what we get. And we go, that's like I see many people, God forgive them in jail, but if they had a penalty, I know one man here in this town, he's got a life term, and I let him to the Lord. But his life will never be the same. He'll never be out of prison. He'll live his life throughout because what he did. What we do in life, there's a payday. There's a payday in life, and that payday comes very rapidly when we get older, because our bodies then start deteriorating, and then things happen a little pre ahead of time. And I'm saying this because God is the answer. And the Bible says where there's sin, there's problem. And the Bible, that's why the Bible says, seek ye first His kingdom, and all these things shall be added. See, God sees down the road that if we live just a loose life, that we're going to have troubles, and we're not going to have a long life. It's proven we won't have a long life. The Bible says in the 91st Psalm, He will show us His salvation and show us a long life. We got something supernatural with the Spirit of God, and God wants to help us, but He doesn't want us to hurt or to put blemishes in our body. This is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is live within us. He's here to respond to us. He's here to uplift us. He's here to encourage us as we walk life's journey by ourselves in His presence. Many of us, we walk with people, but the Holy Spirit should be your closest between Him and Jesus and God above. The Holy Ghost, it lives within us. So we need to get this really down into the natural. When we start saying bad things about the Holy Spirit, we're going to have a great shockwave that we don't even going to understand, because God won't allow it. The Bible said, Jesus plainly said before, even before He went to the cross, He says, whatever you do, now I'm going to send you the comforter, but don't you come against Him, because I will forgive you all sins. You can come to Me and you blaspheme Me and I'll forgive you. But don't you come against the Spirit of God, the Spirit, because He is meek. He won't come against you. He won't do it for an eye or tooth for tooth, because He ministers in your love. He ministers in your sympathy. He is the same Spirit that's ministering to Jesus. Would say it's the same Spirit that's ministering to Him at the day when He went and faced the 40 days. The Spirit of the Lord was with Him. He probably couldn't have made it. It took the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Holy Spirit within Him. And that same Spirit that lifted up in Romans, it says, that same Spirit will lift us up. All right, the children of Israel could not go into the Promised Land because of a wrong spirit that was in them. They was unthankful, unholy, slanderous, very verbal against the things of the Lord. And so we know what happened to them. I was reading there tonight. It says that the Lord says, Joshua, I've seen he has a different spirit. He says, for all the rest of you, you're going to go for 40 years and die in your sin. Joshua had lived through it, but Joshua at least went through it. But sometimes that's what if we love people, we shouldn't want to sin, because our sins hurt our families. Our sins just don't hurt us. It breaks up marriages, brings divorces, and goes in long. But you can have wrong babies that have got things wrong with them you wish you hadn't had. So there's a lot of things that comes in when improper living that your doctor, our doctors wouldn't want. And the only attitude or the only change that can change them is having God, being abstinent from these things that cause these problems to go forth. And the only way that we can endure these things is endure through the Spirit of God. We need the education of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. But we need that outreach in life, because America this night is seeing an epidemic. I'm speaking very where you can see tonight, but that's what's wrong with America. We've taken in, this message is very down to earth. But we need to realize this is part of the cause of where we are. We're seeing America depleted. America can't pray because there's too much sin in our nation. America can't get people saved because there's too much sin in our places. We've allowed sin to come into our homes, our actually even our worship places because we want to see God's people saved. But through it, when we come in and actually we compromise, there's always something that, when we compromise, it always brings the scale down. Every time we scalp, it brings the scale down. This whole high point is hits brought down, so the next time it brings it down lower. So we can't compromise in the Lord. People say, well, that's not fair. But God is very fair. Compromising will mess us up. But if you compromise, God's got a solution. Is seek Him, and He will save you. He will forgive you, and you can start off fresh and new by the Spirit of God. That this day will be a highlight. It will be a milepost for you. It will be a blessing for you. It will be a day that you can look back and say, I'm so glad that I called upon my Lord. I'm so glad I cried and the Lord heard me and heard my despair. And as David said, He heard me in my pit of despair. And He saved me. He set me free. We seek His kingdom and God will set us free. He'll anoint us by His mighty power. But we're struggling in the land that we're living in. We're struggling here tonight. Didn't know how He's going to bring this forth tonight. But we're struggling in this nation. We're struggling in these areas that people know all about. You know, they say, well, you bring it. Our people bring confusion because they don't understand. Well, this everybody understands. It's a point that I don't want to even touch unless I know the Holy Spirit is with me. But it's a dangerous thing when nations forsake God, when nations turn and our streets are full of incest, our streets are full of rapes, our streets are full of murders. All hellish things are going on in this nation. God being so wonderful. And we put it in God we trust. And yet our judges won't stand up for the things of God. Our lawmakers, they don't no longer have any strength or power to endure goodness and sound doctrine as God wishes for us to do. That we be above reproach. All of us, God's people. This nation should be above reproach. We're finding our judicial systems and all the phases of America falling. But God has a sign of the times. And truly this night, today, if you look at the weather, He's saying, I'm coming soon. I'm coming. Don't you see my people? Don't you see that I'm here? Don't you see that I've been knocking the door for years and years and years? And you're going on your own loose living. You're going into diverse manners of troubles, of temptations, of failures that have caused you down, and you do it in my name. And he says, my name is not to be smeared upon like the heathen. My name is forever, ever sanctioned from heaven. It's not to be put down in a lowly condition now like it is. Where God's Spirit is, there is liberty. And that's what's happened. A lot of God's people, churches that, hey, had started well, are now seeing Ichabod on the doors. So help me, it's Ichabod. It's God departed. God will not allow His Holy Spirit to be tormented forever. He's been very merciful, but this is happening. So now our people, we find in even the best homes have problems with marriage. They have problems with divorce. They have problems in alcohol. They have problems in all the areas because they have let the enemy come in. And he's came in, and then the Bible says in the second Corinthians, it says, the tenth, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war of the flesh, for the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. It means we don't have no more strength. Most people don't have resistance against what's taking place. They've lost their immune system. They've lost their nose. They've lost favor with God. And God has no other way but say, my people, you got to wake up because I'm coming. But if you don't wake up, you're going to be a long, long time remembering this day. Many of our people, the good people, are going to remember this day. They're going to remember that God has spoken to them. God has not spoken once. He's spoken twice. He's spoken. Come ye out from among them. Be separate, said the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I shall receive you. And I shall be a father unto you. And I shall have mercy upon you. And I shall deliver you. And I shall set you up. And I'll make you free. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And we're more than conquerors through Him because I've loved you. My people, where art thou this night? For thou hast went out
as a sluggard, thou hast went in the high ways, byways, where there's been no protection. The enemy has lured you. He has much controls, and you bought what he has sold to you, and you bought into his plan. And I say this hour, thou need to break loose from him while you can, because there's a time when I'm coming, and I say, if thou shalt get by even with thy life this night, it's better if you don't have leg, arm, eye, and make it to heaven, and have all these qualities and not make it. My people, the most important thing that you can have is not your healing, not your physical healing, but the most special gift that you can have is the Spirit of God. Your body healed spiritually alive, spiritually alive unto God, but dead unto sin. And I see my church is saying, Spirit of God, so tainted by darkness, so tainted by the principalities of this world. The angel of light was which able to transform himself into an angel. And to those, many are in the foreground of many of God's people. They don't understand that he can come in unless they have the gift of discernment. They have no way of coming against him. He is a great camouflager. He will show them great things until the day that God comes through the clouds of glory. He'll speak in their churches. And Thessalonians says he will set himself up as God himself. He will show himself and show his ugly little head. And he's showing his ugly little head. You need to have God this night. You need to have the Spirit of God. You need to be alive unto God. And God will restore you, and he'll bless you. We need what we need. We don't need presents this night of even Christmas. We need to have the Spirit of God. We need to know that our Savior is his birthday. But yet, we need to have redemption. We need to have forgiveness. We need to have a all-out experience in the Spirit of God. And I believe that the Spirit of God is showing me there's very few people that really have an ongoing experience with God. That they're neither hot. There's a lot of coldness in America, and there's a lot of lukewarm in America, and it hits most people right straight in the eyes. They are more unholy than they are holy. They have a form of godliness, but denying his power there. But the Bible tells me, from such turn away from. But when you have this great avalanche of these things happening, there's no place to see. Only the things of the Lord. We're all to be here. While we're here is to be light shining for God. God has called us, all America, to be a light shining for the God. You're to have a light. Your body is to be the temple of the Lord. It should be a landmark that those round about you that do not know Jesus, they will see the good things within you and desire what you have, that you might have the strength to pray for them, that they might be. That's what it's all about. But this has not taken place, and we see now that people are so in bondage that they can't even help their brother and sister. They're in bondage because the Bible says, and also in 2 Peter, they cannot come again. They cannot stand up because they're in bondage themselves. And that's when we see many of our people. They can't pray healing to the people because they're in bondage themselves. We need to come out for one. Man, you know, God, people don't like what I'm saying, but God's what he's saying is true. You need like Caleb. You need a more excellent spirit. Daniel was said he had a more excellent spirit. God's people, God demands it, that we have a more excellent spirit. That's what this message is about, that we all have a more excellent spirit, that we don't have to be ashamed. See, in Revelation, I didn't know what that meant for so long, but it talks about having our shame. But our shame is when got rid of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what's going to keep us, our spirit help us. He will keep us when there's no blemishes within our attire. He keeps us where we're clothed. And the Bible says in Revelation, our clothing is going to have spots of shame. And through that, we're going to miss the coming. Because it says he will come in as a thief. The Lord's going to come like a thief in the middle of the night. And you'll hear this message no longer. You're not going to hear that God loves you. That God's here to sympathize with you. That God's here to satisfy you. The enemy won't sympathize with you. He's just out to bring lust in the hearts of God's people. Lust has destroyed God's church, and the people, even their dress, their attire, and their church is not becoming a child of God. They're beyond where they should be. We need to realize that this temple is the Spirit of God, and when we dress the matter that tips the other side of the sex, we need to realize that we need to come out from among and be separate, myself included. We need to walk upright before God, that we walk in His promises, in His goodness. As long as these things are not intentional, it's not wrong. But one way that's intentional, some people do. They do that in such a way that they want the attention. And this is devilish. It's from the pits of hell. It'll bring us down to a place that we cannot pay that farthing no longer. And He's going to ask for something that we cannot pay. Jesus paid in full, that we might receive wonderful salvation, that we might be set free this hour, that we might have that freedom, that loving kindness. I see so many of God's people, they're so bound. And when they go into a church, if there's any, probably say, even says, hallelujah. Oh, boy, that's terrible. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God wants us to be free. Who the Son has set free is free indeed. Jesus made us that we'd be free. And the Bible says, after being free, let us no longer entangle ourselves with that yoke of bondage. After being set free, we're not to be entangled no longer with the yoke of bondage, but we're to be landmarks for heaven, that we're the opposite. We're set free. And whom the Son has set free is free indeed. We're more than conquerors through Him which loved us. It says, I'm persuading thee, life nor death nor angels nor principalities nor creatures, neither height nor depth nor any other creature, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We need, if the whole world is coming against us, and we're the only person on earth, it's still no excuse. God says, I've given you my tools, I've given you my power, I've given you my anointing, I've given you my Spirit. What have you done with it? We must examine our hearts daily to keep ourselves, because we're living in a time that our spirit can go rapidly decay very shortly. We need that supernatural interjection from God's Spirit. And then Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is just your reasonable servant. See, that's what God says. A living sacrifice, which is your... Nobody preaches this. No, they don't. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We don't even think about those things. We don't even think about what God's talking about. Then God has to get someone like me as a nobody out here and bring my... And I didn't know any of this, but God has supernaturally taught me, and I'm a nobody. I don't run out there. I am nobody. I'm a flake of flakes. But I don't want to be nothing. I want to have served by Jesus. He's coming soon. He's coming. Will He find grace? I remember God gave me a dream. I went up the rapture. I didn't see many people. And it was so exciting. It was so exciting. Everybody was just, I mean, the Spirit of God, you can't imagine the depth of love that was nothing in this world can even come one degree what there was. I mean, there was such an exciting spirit, but yet you long because you see very few. But I'm afraid that may be right. Many are called, but few are chosen. Jesus prophesied it. The way is never narrow. Why is the gate that leads to destruction? And many of them have been entered that because straight is the gate and narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. People don't like the way I am, but I'm not going to change. I hope I can hang on and do the will of God. I want to do more than I've done today. I want to do more tomorrow than I did that day. I want to climb this ladder every day, that I can make it day by day, that I don't have to slide back in the little mud hole again and pull myself up, because it's too hard to make itself. And the older we get, the harder it is. We got to cry upon God, I need you every hour, because my age, I need all I can help I can get. And I think everyone out there, you too this night, you need all the help you can get, because greater is He that's within you, He that's in the world. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. For in my Father's house there are many mansions, and were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go away, I will come again, receive unto myself, that where I am, there ye might be also. Very plain. He's going away. And the parables, many, many parables in the Word, were talked about the return of the Lord. How they'd go out. Would He find faith and one there? But we're the same way. The five wise and the five foolish virgins. Boy, sad. I prayed in America this night. You seek God. Oh, my heart's broken. My heart has really been hurting here lately. My heart's like, Lord, I feel for people. I see them daily. The Lord won't let me say nothing. He says, just stay where you are. But I'm going to be a witness as long as I'm here. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. If John the Baptist prepared ye the way of the Lord, I'm here to prepare ye the way of the Lord also. He's coming. He's coming to satisfy you. He's here to lift you up, to encourage you. Forsake that way that you're in. Come to the path of life. Come to the path, and God will show you brilliantly His glory. He will touch you. He'll educate you. Man has got so far in their own education, they've got God out of the picture in many areas. He's no longer there. See, we must worship God in spirit and in truth. We can't leave the spirit part out. The word is solid. It's locked in. So you got to have the spirit to minister in the word. This word has already been set. Jesus made it as concrete. It's there. His word will never fail. It's there forever. So we have to have the spirit to unravel that into our hearts. Because it's too tough for us. The letter kills, but the spirit of God brings forth life. And we need the lovely life of God, the Christ Jesus, our Savior. Oh, I love you people. I love you. But be careful. Be careful out there where you are. Be careful of the pitfalls. Be careful of the traps that you might fall off of the cliff someplace and find yourself dangling and no one to help you. Only this Lucifer himself. And he will laugh at you. He will make prey at you. He will do great wicked things towards you. You need to come in close to our Heavenly Father. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We need to do this 23rd Psalm as more we ever done in our life. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He's going to have pastures for us. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And that still waters means you're not going to have no more hurting up here, fretting because of your heart. You know, people's hearts are going to fail them because of the exertion. You know, our blood pressure goes up when everything's not well. And there's people out there, your blood pressure's way up here because you're living in a wrong condition. And God wants to set you free. God wants you to walk in His blessing, that God would bless you. It says, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for Thou art with me. For Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I left part of that out, and I'm going to touch on that part that I left out, because I believe that that's the part that God wanted. God doesn't make mistakes. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. He restores our soul. You know, God restores it daily. That's the key tonight. He restores us continually. He restores us. Restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. God renews all the time. He renews. And so that's why as we as God's people have to start renewing ourselves. We must see ourselves as basically very frail children this day that we live in. Our strength is only in the Lord. So anything that we try to do within ourselves, we automatically should know that's God's wishes. Now, years ago, we're not in the same time that we were 10 years ago, 5 years ago. God's coming soon. This is that call that God said, wake up. Don't you not? My coming is very soon. I call to those. I seek to those. God's making a plea with mankind. Be ready. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's nearer. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his heart, and let him return to the Lord, and to our God will he abundantly pardon. For high as the heavens are from the earth, or so is God's ways higher in our thoughts. We know as the snow comes down the heaven, so much so is His thoughts higher than our thoughts. He's here to replenish us by His Spirit. He's here to enable us to incorporate His mighty hand upon us. His mighty hand is so powerful. He that dwelt in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress. A fortress, something wonderful. Out in the Mediterranean, they used to have Gibraltar out there. And those big guns would pull, and they could not, for a long time, they could not do anything.
And I think they finally had to go in and sabotage those guns when the Nazis had it, Germany had it. Because those big guns, a fortress, but God's that fortress. He's fortress. He will keep us. He will save us. When the enemy comes in like a flood, yea, the Lord thy God shall raise up a standard against him. Greater is he that's within you. God wants you to get this in your spirit, in your heart, that your whole being is not your own. You've been bought with a price. That God would set you free, that you'd be so on fire, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You'd be thrilled. But see, we want to keep our lives so intent. We don't want to walk down the street unless we were so up where we're supposed to be. But you know, I think God should take some of us down a little bit and says, go out there and just, you're going to put you in the spirit now. You're going to, the world's going to see you. You're going to, well, I'll let you go to camel ground here. But yet, you know, you're going to be, it's like Nebuchadnezzar. He went out and ate the grass. You know, we better do our first works. God's here to save us tonight, to touch us in a mighty way. Father, I just pray for a mighty blessing on your people this night. I pray for our sister this night that had that operation. I pray that you'd help her in a very special way. I pray that you'd bring healing to her body. I pray that this operation will be successful in your power. I pray for all the needs out there this night that you would set your people free, touch them, bring healing. Whatever the need is, I pray that you administer your love as only you can. And Father, I just thank you that you're so gracious. You're so wonderful. Father, it is such a privilege to be able to be used by God. What a wonderful, nothing excites me like the Spirit of the Lord. And Father, I just pray that you administer your love, minister your healing, minister your deliverance to all those this night that need that special touch. And we thank you in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen and amen and amen and amen and amen.